Welcome to Curmudgeon's Corner for Tuesday, April 23rd, 2013. I'm Sam Minter, and I have Yvonne Bo with me again.
Hello.
Hello, Yvonne. And, you know, as I lamented in a little intro to last week's show, last week was one of those weeks where it really, really fucking sucked that I just didn't get the show out right after we recorded it, because by the time I actually got the damn thing out, there were all kinds of crazy events all week long that we didn't talk about at all because we recorded it before they happened. But now we're going to talk about them. So obviously we're going to talk about the Boston thing and all kinds of different aspects of that. If we end up having time, there are a few other things that both Yvonne and I have on our lists. But I'm guessing we're going to talk about a bunch of stuff about the Boston, and that may take up most of the show. So anyway, I don't know where to start. I don't think anybody listening probably needs a recap of the events. Somebody blew up a couple bombs at the Boston Marathon, and then there was a whole thing going on to catch them. And in the end, one died and they caught the other guy. And it basically dominated the news for the entire week.
Yes, it did. I had people asking me different questions, okay, about this whole thing. I had, for example, okay, let me throw you one question that came out. Okay, yeah. See what you think about this. Somebody went and my wife's cousin is a blogger, okay, mm-hmm. Not in the U.S., in Colombia, okay. She sent me a question. She was asking a question, you know, like, I think, let me see if the question was, do you think that this incident will change U.S. foreign policy? Straight up question.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I ask you, what do you think?
No.
That's what I thought too. But why do you think that?
I think because so far at least, and this may change, but so far at least, it really does look like these were two guys acting on their own, not as part of some sort of organized international conspiracy or anything like that. They may have been inspired by, in quotes, something or other. But in the end, it's not like, you know, some overseas entity issued commands to do an attack and then they did it. It's really looking much more like, to me, this is looking much more like, you know, all of these other incidents of, you know, one or two wackos deciding that they want to cause some damage.
I'm with you on that. I think
and the reason I don't think it's going to affect foreign policy is because there isn't a specific thing that it can be targeted at. Now, will it affect?
You don't think we can go and invade Chechnya?
Yeah, whatever. You know, given the stuff that's come out last week, maybe the Czech Republic.
The Czech Republic.
You didn't see this?
I didn't see that angle.
When it came out that they were from Chechnya.
Oh God.
The embassy of the Czech Republic apparently got so many inquiries about it that they had to put out a statement that said Chechnya and the Czech Republic are not the same thing.
Well, there you go. Well, that's good to know. Oh, God. Really? They got that many inquiries? Oh, my God.
So the Czech Republic put out an official statement saying Chechnya was nowhere near Republic, and they weren't related in any way, and...
Oh God! Yeah. Okay.
But look, I don't. There is no connection that seems tight here. I mean, the older brother traveled to Russia, may have interacted with some people. There are some very loose ties here, but I don't think there's any. I mean, the actual Chechen rebels and such have said we have nothing to do with this. Leave us alone. But it does nothing tight here. Now, domestically, who knows? There might be some additional policy implications, because I already see people talking about like how they can tighten up security even further and how they can do this. And maybe we should have more systematic CCTV cameras like they do in London, so it's everywhere and, you know, not
well, it looks like we had more than enough, you know?
Yes. So, you know,
I agree with what you're talking about. I mean, that was my response. I said, look, this looks like a plot that was really like, I mean, despite the whatever inspiration, this looked like two, you know, guys. I mean, one that apparently really was the more the inspiration that's looking. Obviously, we still don't have the details.
Yeah.
And who was able to influence a much younger guy who appears, from what everybody said, was a pretty well-adjusted kid. And I don't know, but
which is kind of scary in and of itself.
You know, well, the thing is, but you know, you who did not have an older brother, but you know, it's like, I mean, it's like, I mean, I mean, I can see the sway that a much older brother could have on a 19-year-old kid.
Yeah,
to a certain extent, to convince them that, well, you know, and everything this sucks.
This is similar, by the way, if you remember the pattern of the Beltway sniper.
Yes.
It was also, they weren't brothers, but it was an older man influencing a younger kid, and they went and acted as a team.
Right.
And there's this, there is that certain set of, you know, if... And I don't want to draw a broad brush on all teenagers, certainly not. But if you are younger, if you're vulnerable in certain ways, if you don't have a lot of self-confidence, if someone comes around and is offering you sort of truth and definition and here's the way forward, and you know, it's very easy potentially to sway somebody if they're not already really well-grounded in such a way that they can just sort of toss that stuff off.
Yeah, and I guess that's, you know, I mean, it's just, I mean, it's sad, but, I mean, it is what it is. I mean, you know, people can be influenced that way, and that's what sometimes happens, I mean, unfortunately. I don't see, personally, despite whatever, even though, you know, whatever happened that the FBI had interviewed him before because the Russians had made some inquiries and some other stuff and whatever. I mean, I personally don't see how our foreign policy is going to be affected in any way. This doesn't seem to be, you know, I agree with your assessment. This doesn't seem to be an act that was really incited really directly by any foreign agent. Could it have inspired the guy because that's what he's looking for? Yeah, but you know, look, I mean,
any effect whatsoever, it might be that, you know, Russian intelligence and our intelligence agree on a little bit more information sharing.
Right. That's about the only thing I can really think of at this point. But other than that, I don't really see it. So that was one question that I got regarding the incident. I don't know. Where do you what?
So there are a few other aspects of this, and I've got sort of a list of aspects about this that I think are worth talking about. One is the level of response, and was it actually proportionate? And I'm talking both law enforcement response and also media response. And I'll tell you why. Like, obviously, like, if you've followed me on Twitter, I was glued to this thing the whole time. The night.
So was I.
The night that they were actually chasing these guys through the street and stuff, I did not sleep at all that night. You know,
I wasn't that bad.
It hit here at like 9 p.m. or so, 9, 10, 11. I forget exactly when. And I had, you know, two TV networks, some local stations, Twitter, a whole bunch of websites, the police scanners. I had the whole thing, and I did not sleep for even 1 minute that entire night between Thursday and Friday because I was glued to it. So obviously, like, okay, exciting event, I was glued to it. But when you come back and think about it, I mean, you know, I don't want to minimize it in any way. It was a very significant event, 3 people killed, but even more significantly, perhaps 180 some injured. But, you know, I'll just say this briefly because it's the point I always make, but it's human nature. You know, a whole bunch of people that something happens to together is not actually more significant in the end than if that happened to a whole bunch of people separately, you know? And there are events like this, and the nature of what happens is also, like, we were mentioning real quick as a possible topic on the show, the explosion in West Texas. The explosion in West Texas killed more people and injured more people.
But
and yes, okay, look, it looks like it...
An industrial accident.
It's an right. industrial accident, and maybe someone was negligent and not following the proper safety procedures, etc. And so people are like, eh, whatever, it doesn't matter. But and I understand the human nature of that and saying, well, it's an accident. It's an accident versus, hey, someone's trying to kill us. But in the end, it's the same or worse effect. I mean, you know, if we were rational about these things, West Texas would be getting a fuckload more attention than Boston did.
Well, no, I agree, but let's face it, it was an accident. I mean, you know, it's what it's even if it was like it was by negligence.
But you could say the same thing. You know, okay, this was an accident. This was some criminals. I mean, what makes it that this one's worth so much more attention? More people died in Texas.
Because
more people were injured in Texas.
Because somebody went and intentionally went and set out to try to get attention and injure and maim as many people as possible. And apparently they were actually looking to do more. They well, had yes, they far were. More they were, bombs. They had more bombs and weapons and stuff.
They had a couple more they had to think. But again, like, why does the motivation matter? In the end, the result is worse in Texas.
Okay, I'll give you the example. I was reading an article about the fire that broke out first, and that one of the guys that unfortunately got killed when the explosion was a firefighter from Dallas that had about 30 years experience. That was a guy that was used to dealing with these kinds of industrial fires. He was trained on that. The fire department in Texas was all volunteer. So the guy, his friend, his friend was a volunteer at the fire department, or he heard about it or something. He said, look, dude, take me over there because, you know, he's a professional firefighter. Take me over there. Let me take a look. So he drives him down there to go look at it. He sees that it's a freaking fertilizer plant. He tells his friend before anything happens, look, dude, you get in the car, turn around, leave. I'm walking over there by myself. You don't understand the kind of gravity of the situation that's happening over there right now. Unfortunately, he went in and he was trying to help him, like, with it. In between what was happening, boom, the place blew up and the guy got killed. You know, but the thing is, as you can see, like I'm talking about, I mean, this guy was already to the people, get away. You know, this is a difficult, this could be danger. I think people take it an overt act versus an accident will always get all the attention.
No, I know. I know it will. And that's human nature. I'm just saying, it's irrational, and we should actually try to fight that because in the end, it affects our reactions to it as well. And frankly, like, you know, if you compare these kinds of things, a hell of a lot more people get killed by industrial accidents every year than by these kinds of mass casualty events that you had in Boston. And I whether you want to call it terrorism or just criminal act or whatever, you know, so it affects, like, how do you make decisions about where to put resources and what things to address and what things to do what actions on? And if we let ourselves be governed by our instinctual emotional reaction, we end up making decisions that are actually suboptimal if your actual end result you want is...
Dude, we are talking about humans here, right?
Yes, but, you know... And this is
humans making suboptimal choices. Oh fuck, dude! Can I go?
All I'm saying is, yes, I expect that. Yes, I expect that's what will happen. But we should try to fight it. And
yeah. Well, okay. You know, I need to break it to you, but forget it, dude. I mean, not gonna happen in our fucking lifetime or our son's lifetimes. You know, so forget it. All right.
Unfortunately, I believe you are right. And, you know, people will make continuously irrational decisions about this. And it's known and studied. Like, the people overestimate the risk that is rare and unusual versus the risk that's an everyday thing, even though the risk that's an everyday thing might actually be worse. And it's all part of that same phenomenon.
It's like people more concerned, like my wife gets more freaked out about flying than driving.
Yes.
And in reality, she should be fucking freaked out about riding in a car.
Well, and more to the point, in this particular comparison, people get more freaked out about terrorism than they do about driving in their car.
Right, whereas driving in their car... more dangerous than a fucking terror act. But listen, but even with all the attention that this got, let me just say this. The reaction by the American people is not one of panic.
No, it was not. No, I give
you... Were they paying attention to it? Were they were concerned? Was there an outpouring of like sympathy for the people? Yes, absolutely. But did you know? Was it like in other times where people were fucking panicked? No.
Well, let me shift gears then, because you're absolutely right. The thing I was railing about is human nature, and it's not going to change. But there's also the question of. What the Boston police did and the FBI did is basically, you know, there was no law saying they could enforce it, but they basically shut down the city of Boston for almost 48 hours.
Well, they basically, but let's face it, they weren't going to arrest anybody for doing
that. That's what I mean by there was no law behind it. They just suggested that people asked everybody,
please stay indoors and please to close all businesses so we can catch this person. And apparently almost everybody complied.
So yes, they did. And so let me ask, here's the thing. You know, these type of events have happened before, but this is the first time that things have been shut down in exactly this kind of way. You know, I mean, we could compare to 9/11, but that was a little bit different. Things weren't shut down because they were trying to find people. Things were shut down because, like, everything was falling apart. But, like, the bombing of the Atlanta Olympics, bombings that have happened in London, in mm-hmm. Spain, in India.
Yeah.
All of these things have happened, but they haven't, you know, shut everything down to go find the people responsible. They've in most of the cases that I just mentioned, they eventually did find the person and you know, whatever happened. But they didn't say we're shutting everything down until we find these guys. Even when there was suspicion that they would cause more damage. I believe in London, for instance, they caught half the people. The other people were still on the loose, or I guess maybe it was Mumbai. They caught some of the people. Other people were still on the loose and actually did set off more bombs.
Well, it did work.
It did, but like, you know, it was the... And I guess this is what I'm asking you. I'm not stating the answer up front. I'm asking you, Yvonne, do you think the trade-off was worth it to shut down the whole city like this to get these guys?
Yeah.
Even though, like, we've got multiple examples in the past of other situations where they didn't shut it down, and they got the guys anyway.
I think yes.
Tell me why.
Because, let's put it to you this way. What it allowed, I think it allowed, it allowed the police to be able to, these guys... If you didn't do the shutdown, for example, and talking about a movement, I think it would be quite easy for them to slip out, say, driving somewhere, going, whatever. These guys were looking to escape. Mm-hmm. They definitely were looking to escape. And,
you know, although I have to bring in when you say that. Again, and maybe this is just because they were complete dumbasses. If they'd wanted to escape... The right course of action was not hijack that car, then let the guy out and let him live, and then go and then start going down a high-speed chase throwing bombs at the police. You know, if they'd wanted to escape, the right way to do it was not, first of all, not wait 3 or 4 days until their picture was on the news.
They carjacked a car. They didn't have money. Well, they were not very bright.
They were not very bright, but apparently they did have a car of their own. They could have just gotten in the fucking car and gone.
They may have done that, but the thing is they weren't too smart.
So I gather. But, you know... Yeah. Okay. Go ahead. Let's.
Well, my point is that I think it did allow everybody to be focused on this, and therefore,
doesn't also make their act much more effective, because in the end they didn't just kill three people and injure almost 200. They killed three people, injured almost 200, and shut a city down for most of a week. Not most of a week. It was actually only shut down for like 48 hours. Yeah, between a day and a day.
It was like a day.
Yeah, but you know, so what does this tell you? This says, oh, if you want to shut down a city and destroy the economy, you know, all you have to do is kill a few people.
Well, I'm sorry, but you know what? They got one got killed and the other one got caught inside 36 hours. So what it shows you, you want to try to shut down a city, yes, but you're very likely to be dead or caught.
Well, yeah, but the people who do this kind of thing, you got to think they expect that. They don't actually expect to get away.
I know. I'm sorry, but most of the people that we've had, the bombers that we've had over the last 15 years, take out the September 11th suicide guys.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. If you take Oklahoma City, you take the idiot that bombed the Atlanta Olympics, you take the New York, the Times Square bomber.
Yeah.
You take you take all these other guys. The majority of them wanted to get away. Exactly. Yeah. If you there is no freaking way you're getting away.
This comes back to what you said about them being idiots. But
right.
Like, they didn't even try to disguise themselves.
No. Well, they were not too bright.
And one might argue that you'd have to not be that bright to do this kind of thing. But I suppose you could imagine a really intelligent, nefarious person trying to do this stuff who wouldn't make all the mistakes these guys did. But still.
Yeah.
Let's take a break. There are a few other aspects of this to talk about, but we've been going a little while, so let's take a break. We'll be back after this.
Breaky, breaky.
Okay, here we are, back again. So another aspect of this, and there are a few related bits of this, but what I'll start with is there's been a lot of criticism. The FBI actually, after the fact, in some of the statements they've made, indicated that one of the reasons that they put out the pictures at the time they did was because of all the online amateur sleuthing to try to find these guys.
Okay.
So, in particular, there was an area on Reddit where people were collecting every picture they could find of the area, of the events that happened on Monday during the bombing, before and after, collecting from all kinds of sources, things that were published online, people volunteering their own pictures, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and people trying to pull out of that potential suspects. And trying to find them. And they had quote-unquote identified quite a few people that they thought were suspects. As it turns out, they were wrong. Almost everybody they identified, if not everybody they identified, because I haven't heard anything that they actually identified these two guys, was completely innocent. Two of those folks that were identified by Reddit ended up on the front page of the New York Post as suspects. Geez.
I didn't realize that. Because I don't read the New York Post.
Yeah, so there was a big flap about this, and there were interviews with these people like who were falsely identified about how they were now getting threats, how they felt like they couldn't go to school, how they couldn't, you know, do this and that and this. And most of this was, by the way, in the time period between... like when the New York Post put them on the front page of the paper and when the real guys were identified. And that was like a 24 to 36 hour period or so. And so these guys, you know, had their lives made a living hell for this period of time, and hopefully it's gotten better for them at this point. But, you know, and meanwhile, that was, you know, all, you know, this sort of crowdsourcing and trying to find the people, and the notion being that, hey, we got 1,000 amateurs working on this on the website. You know, we throw enough people at it and throw enough resources at it, even though we're not, like, particularly trained, maybe we can find some information faster, you know, than the FBI can.
Do you know what this shows?
What does this show?
Our fucking FBI is pretty damn good.
It does. Because I actually, like, the effort that was coming through the online stuff, I was like, hey, that's pretty cool. I mean, and you have to take it with a grain of salt that this is the kind of stuff that, you know, organizations like the FBI, you can be sure they probably identified tons of these false leads before they got to the right ones.
That's right.
They just didn't put it out in public.
That's right.
And that's the difference here. And that's what makes it, like, you know, oh, is this a little bit concerning or not? Because, you know, when the FBI is doing their investigation and they have a whole bunch of preliminary suspects and they're systematically going through and eliminating them before they get to, like, the ones that they're willing to say, okay, these are the guys, that's all very closely held information. Right. Meanwhile, you're doing it on some public website like Reddit, you know, some guys get excited and say, this is the guy, this is the guy, this is the guy, and kaboom, you know, there are people going after that guy and saying, I'm not waiting for the FBI. I'm going to go after this guy and arrest him my damn self, or maybe just shoot him.
Yeah.
And you might be wrong. And one of these people that was identified, by the way, and I'm guilty of retweeting this myself on the night of, because supposedly it was repeated on the police scanner on the night of the chase, but then apparently recordings thereafter say it wasn't. They identified one kid who was missing, from his university, disappeared in March, and they're like, this is the guy. Well, no, it turns out, no, it's not the guy, and that poor guy who's been missing since March is still missing, and, you know, who knows what happened to him. But, you know, they got, and you know, someone posted the roller coaster of that kid's parents. The kid's missing. Then he is assumed dead. Then, oh, oops, no, he's not dead. He's a mass murderer. And then, like, a few hours later, oops, I guess he's dead after all, you know, or maybe missing, you know. It's just a mess. Now, I don't think you can put that genie back in the bottle, though. I mean, the reality is, you know, hey, if that information is out there, people are going to try to figure it out. I mean, I thought of that myself. Hey, maybe I'll look at a few of these pictures and see if I can see anything. I didn't. I didn't have time. But, you know, because, you know, I would have said it was you.
Yeah, I'm sure you would have.
This genie is not going back in the bottle. This is sort of what this kind of, you know, this is going to happen. Anytime this kind of event is going to happen again, it'll happen again.
Well, I mean, and like maybe
Reddit has publicly apologized for this, and maybe they won't allow this kind of thread on their forum next time around. But it'll be somewhere else.
Somebody else will try to do it.
Yeah.
Well,
and another similar aspect of this, by the way, is, and I'm guilty of this myself again, and I don't think it was necessarily bad. But, like, there was a lot of criticism over people retweeting what they heard on the police scanners. And with basically the notion that, you know, hey, this isn't verified information. No one really knows what's going on. And I think, of course, that's true. But that's why you have to understand what it is you're listening to and what the source is. You know, if you're listening to the scanner or listening to retweets of people describing what they hear on the scanner, it's a chaotic, fluid situation where any given statement may or may not turn out to be true when you look at it later on down the road, but it's giving you that instantaneous flow of, okay, here's what's happening on the ground. Here's what people think are happening on the ground. And of course that's chaotic. And the same thing was true, by the way. I remember having an essentially similar debate when, you know, there were the protests in the streets of Iran a couple years ago now.
Right.
And what's really going on and what's this and people retweeting things from people on the street there. And, you know, this happened, that happened, this happened. There's troops moving this way. There's troops moving that way. And of course, none of it's verified. Some of it may be true. Some of it may be misinformation. Some of it may be false. But it's showing you that live, real-time, chaotic picture. And yes, if you are expecting to only hear the actual, here's what went down, don't look at anything live. Wait a few days or even a few weeks and read about the summary of what happened. You know, if you're wanting to be like in the flow of what's going on, you're going to have this chaotic stuff here. You're going to have stuff that's wrong and you have to interpret it in that light. And you have to understand that what you're listening to is that kind of not necessarily factual, but, you know, whatever. And here's the difference. I mean, I was watching this stuff on Twitter and listening to the police scanner, although I was mostly paying attention to Twitter because the police scanner was too, you know, I couldn't interpret everything that was going on there very well. But like, and, you know, I had on at various times all of the major cable news networks. And also NBC at various times. And they were consistently, you know, they would talk about something like, okay, we just got a report that XYZ happened. And I'm like, I fucking heard about that half an hour ago. You know?
Yeah, but I, you know.
And sometimes, by the way, I just want to say this. They reported a thing that had already been reported on and discredited. So, like, you know, there's a fire and it's like where people had already been like, there's a fire. It's out. It's done. Whatever. That's over. And the news media is still like, oh, my God, there's a fire. You know, and they.
Well, but here's a problem. I mean, this crowdsourcing of news also. I mean, really, I mean, here's a problem that you've got with the press right now. The press is trying to fucking beat these guys, which and a lot of the stuff that's going out there is shit.
Well, and I think that that's absolutely right. There's two different things here. Like, if you're looking for, like, that real-time chaotic flow that I just described, where you know anybody watching that should go in, I believe before it all started or in the middle of this, I said something about taking with a huge pile of salt. And that's what you have to do. Like, if you're looking at that, you have to recognize that 60-70% of what you're seeing will turn out to be false in the end. And you have to recognize
that's that. That's not news.
No, that's what I'm saying. But if you're a real, quote unquote, news organization, you know, you got to stop chasing the moment because you'll never catch up with that shit. You will never catch up with that shit. What you have to do instead is say, we don't care about being first. We care about
being right.
When it's all over, we will give you a complete factual rundown that shows everything we possibly know about this in a way that will give you insight into it that you would never get through that real-time stuff. And the problem is the cable networks are caught in the middle. Like, really, to do what I just said, like, you're worse than back in the daily newspaper days. You're probably in the weekly news magazine days where, you know, you wait a little while, you collect the facts, and then you write a nice comprehensive multi-page article with all kinds of details and all well-sourced and all of that kind of stuff. And that's a very much appreciated kind of thing. I mean, even the articles in, say, the New York Times and stuff that were the day after, you know, first of all, they were so much more coherent than any of the live stuff going on.
Oh, my God, yes.
And they had all kinds of additional detail and all kinds of, you know, people talking about what had happened and outlawing, saying, okay, this happened, then this happened, then this happened. And, you know, these things you heard about when it was going on, that didn't happen. And so that's very, very useful, but it's a different ball game. And so, like, I think you got, like, your sources like the New York Times who can take that long form and do that sort of thing. And then you've got, like, the live listening to the police scanner, watching Twitter stuff, which is completely the opposite. The problem is when you've got your, like, CNNs and MSNBCs and stuff trying to do that live real time, not able to do the real live, real-time, unfiltered stuff because they're still somewhat held to the standards of if they get something wrong, then they get slammed for it. But at the same time, they can't wait and say, you know, there's something going on in Boston. We'll tell you about it tomorrow.
Yeah, but people don't have that patience.
Because, I mean, even I, like, when this first start hitting, I started tweeting, like, where the fuck is CNN? Why aren't they on live? So, you know, I'm part of the problem. I recognize it. And I watched these guys, so, like, they got, like, the viewers that they wanted. So, you know, yeah, I'm part of the problem, I guess. Because, you know, I want that real-time fix. But what I definitely found was, like, yeah, I could get the real-time fix online. What the live TV folks were doing was just garbage. I mean, and not because they got facts wrong, but because I could get my incorrect facts from the live Twitter feed. You know? But because they were slow, they were behind the events by a significant fraction, and they were still wrong. You know, and then, you know, the newspapers and stuff came in the next day and cleaned it up and gave really good accounts. But that in-between thing where the TV networks is seems untenable to me. They can't live there because it's no good. It doesn't add value on either end of the spectrum. Time for another break?
Yep. Time for another break.
Okay. We'll be back after this. Okay, here we are.
So, where do you want to go next?
Aruba?
Jamaica?
Montego?
No, that place sucks. Anyway.
I was trying to do the song, you know.
But I can't sing too well.
Okay. Yeah, that's not even close to
fun. Okay. How about putting the guy into an enemy combatant?
Ah, yes. Bullshit. I was almost suggesting it was time to move on from Boston, but I'd forgotten about that, Barton. You're
oh
right.
God, that's you important. How could you forget that?
Fucking, I know. I was just, you know, my mind is starting to fry.
I had that written down. But, I mean, that's like I'm fucking.
There are two bits about this. First is the public safety exemption to reading the Miranda rights. And then there is, should he be tried as an enemy combatant? So the Justice Department did invoke the public safety exemption, which basically says, and has been somewhat standardized procedure over the last decade or so, you can defer reading the Miranda rights to a person if you think by questioning them you can resolve a clear and present danger. And there are a number of court cases that have held this out. So basically the idea is if you can ask them, is there another bomb waiting to go off?
Right.
You know, that kind of thing. Now, what made this interesting is you had sort of a sort of trying to have it both ways thing. They were invoking this exception at the same time they were saying, it's all done. We think we have everything. There's no more danger. And it's hard to see why you can do both. And one thing that the Obama administration has apparently done over the last year or so is they issued some new guidelines that said the public safety exemption can potentially be used even when you don't have a specific credible belief that there is an additional threat out there, which potentially makes it a very vague and wide open exception. And so my whole thing in this particular case was, there was no need. Like, from everything I've heard, the police at the point they took the guy into custody believed they had full control of the situation, believed that they had all of the relevant stuff in place, and that's what they told the public at that point as well. Maybe they were lying, but they believed they once they had him in custody, they had neutralized the danger. And so I don't think it was necessary. For true public safety reasons. And the only and let me say also, yeah, there's no concern about actually it damaging the prosecution in any way if he didn't talk. Because, like, because the other concern is always, you know, once you give them the Miranda warning, then they shut up and they don't talk and they get their lawyer, and then it may be harder to get a confession out of them. You don't need a confession out of these guys. From everything, they've got tons and tons and tons of evidence. You know, they don't need this guy to say, I did it, you know, in order to win in court against him. So it was really not necessary is what I see as the problem here. And so you're exerting a right to defer Miranda for no good reason. And the end result is just, it just weakens Miranda. Now, of course, another thing to say, by the way, is whether or not they tell the guy he has the right to remain silent, etc., doesn't change the fact that he does have that right. So it's just a reminder to the person in question. And somebody else brought up online a very good point. Like, at this point, who the fuck doesn't know that?
Right. But even like at that, I mean, I guess that the whole point is that in case anything that he says gets challenged, you know, you want to have the proper arguments whether it was challengeable or not. And I guess that's why I deferred it.
Well, but you protect your, if you're worried about it, things being admissible later, the proper thing to do is read Miranda the second you got him in custody.
Deferring it actually weakens it, but here's the thing. I think that the exact point that you brought up is a reality. It's not like they were lacking evidence. They felt like to convict them. So they felt the only reason you would do this is because you wanted to get more information from him, just in case you wanted to be absolutely positive that there were no more devices, no more bombs, no more plotting.
And that makes sense. Like that makes sense. But the flip side of that means, like, if they were really unsure about that, then they were lying when they said all clear.
Well, why wouldn't you lie about that? We have him in custody, but you could die. I'm like, more panic.
But we believe there are random bombs planted throughout the city. Yeah, no.
Right.
No, I don't believe that either. But I believe that if, you know,
I think the only reason you would look, do
let me revise my statement. If the police thought there was a significant chance that there really was still a danger, I think they should say that. I think they should say, be careful, be suspicious, look at, if you see packages, let us know, blah, 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 blah. If they didn't, if they really thought it was an all clear, then they didn't need to do this. And maybe you're right. Maybe they're, if they questioned him, maybe there's a chance he could have given some more information. But I don't think they needed to do it. And because they didn't need to, I don't think they should have. I think they should have just given him the Miranda warnings the second they got him and not worried about it. Now, as it turns out, the guy, it's unclear. There have been conflicting reports. He was shot multiple times. There's some speculation that some of those shots may have been self-inflicted, including one in the neck that is preventing him from actually speaking at this point. Although apparently he has passed some notes, but he was Mirandized today when they actually submitted the charges against him. So at this point, it's a moot point, and I don't think they got any significant information from him in the meantime. From what I understand. But anyway, I think it was, I just think it's a shame. This was within established procedures, sort of, although it was really stretching them to the limits. But I think it was a bad choice. I think they should have just given him the Miranda rights and be done with it.
Okay,
so now
move to the more, like, controversial thing that some morons were advocating.
And which did not happen, by the way. The Obama administration has said that he will be tried in a regular federal court. He will not be declared an enemy combatant.
Well,
there were a number of people advocating that he should.
You know, there was an opinion piece today that said basically, great, so we use the standard, our standard criminal system to, in a very short order, go and, like, catch this guy, right? Okay? And then we want to try to somehow use a military tribunal system, which basically has been discredited, that it doesn't work. It's a fucking disaster. Yeah. That what it's left us is in a human rights fucking ridiculous crisis as a nation, okay, to try this guy. It's retarded. These morons. I mean, our criminal justice system has shown it quite adequate at apprehending these guys and fucking throwing them in jail.
Yep.
With proper due process. Why the fuck with a process that we know has not worked at all?
I don't disagree with you, and it also sends all kinds of, you know, the decision making process is actually one of the most disturbing parts of that. This, if the government can just decide anytime it feels like, this guy's an enemy combatant, so he doesn't get normal due process. We'll do whatever the fuck we want with him instead.
The Constitution.
And so far, the restrictions on the, I mean, some of this is still being hashed out, of course, but for the most part right now, it does seem to be the whole enemy combatant thing is completely arbitrary, up to the executive. The courts have, for the most part, been unwilling to really dispute it. There have been some limited cases, but and so it's like, really, you know, there's no written guidelines. There's no this XYZQ has to be true to be an enemy combatant. Now, there might be some written guidelines inside the Justice Department or something, but when I say written guidelines, I mean something that's not just decided by the president and can be changed by the president whenever the fuck he feels like it. I mean, like, guidelines that are enshrined in law, you know? And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm missing something. Feel free to correct me if you're listening and there are such guidelines, but my impression was that we're not.
Let me just one thing. You were talking about, you know, it hasn't been challenged. Let me correct you on that. There was one U.S. citizen, okay, which was...
We have had a number of habeas corpus courses.
Jose Padilla, there was a dirty bomber.
Yes,
he was first held as a fucking enemy combatant. And after a lot of pressure and a lot of like, you know, basically, you know, demands on the administration, they finally tried him in a civilian court.
You are right. There have been some limited cases, what I sort of meant was there has not been a substantially binding legal precedent that ties the executive's hands significantly.
But here's the thing, just by the way. So it took 3.5 years to get him out of that. But here's the worst thing about it. Doing that in reality made his trying him more difficult, because a lot of the ways that he was interrogated and things were done, basically all of that shit couldn't be used.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean,
none of it.
Time after time, and I'm not disagreeing you at all. The procedures that have been followed on quote-unquote enemy combatants, from how they're treated, how they're questioned, how they were attempted to be tried, et cetera, have been disastrous. Like, and we've talked again, Obama's response has, for the most part, has said, okay, I'm not capturing anymore, I'm just going to kill them. But there are cases like this where, you know, you have captured someone, and it should go, it absolutely should go through to civilian courts. This is a crime. Fundamentally, this is a crime. This is not an act of war. This is not a battle. This is no whatever. This is, you know, this is a couple people deciding to do mayhem. And frankly, my opinion of that should be tried in a court would not be any different if we found out that, in fact, these two were operating under the orders of, you know, Al-Qaeda or a foreign government.
This seems to be, honestly, and I know that I oversimply simplified this, but I had a friend of mine that said, so why do you think the guy did it? And I know that I may be glib, but I think that, honestly, if you look deep down, I am not totally wrong. I said to my friend that was asking me this, I said, it's a lack of sex. And he's like, what? and they're like, what? Yes. It's a lack of sex. And they're like, what are you talking about? Look, I got to tell you something. Do you think if this guy was 25 years old and blonde Bostonian girls were fucking throwing all over himself to bang this guy, he'd be going out and dropping bombs?
You know, I have not seen anything actually reported about the younger guy's love life. The older guy was married.
I'm sorry, the older guy. I'm talking about the older guy. The younger guy had girlfriends and stuff or whatever. I'm talking about the older guy.
The older guy was married.
No, what do you mean married? The older guy...
They were separated, but the older guy is married and has a kid. There you go.
He was separated. He said he had no friends. He kept posting like he doesn't understand Americans, said that he had no friends, okay? Yeah. He was separated from his wife. There you go. Proves my theory even better, okay? This guy was a guy who was depressed because he felt that he didn't fit in. He felt that he was an outsider.
So now we're getting to larger issues. I think by narrowing it down to sex, you're like you said it yourself. You're oversimplifying.
I think
the larger issue that you're identifying now, that this guy was isolated socially and felt like a misfit, and you know, these are exactly the same psychological profiles you see of the kids at Columbine, of the Unabomber. Yeah, all of the you can name like a dozen of these.
They may have drawn inspiration on some shit, maybe of the Middle East or whatever. It was just, you know, that like you said, Columbine and these assholes, they drew inspiration of other fucking bullshit.
It's just the excuse. It's the excuse that he used to be. You know, if there had been no international jihad, if he hadn't been from Chechnya, he would have found some other excuse to do it, and people would be blaming it on video games or something.
Exactly.
You know.
But like I said,
by the way, when you were saying, well, what's the real cause these guys, you know, it brings up, did you see the interview with the guy's uncle?
The guy that called them losers.
Yeah.
He's right.
Yeah, exactly.
I totally agree. And like some of the family, he's right. You know, he said they came over. The oldest guy, really, couldn't fucking adjust. He's a fucking loser, okay? You know? And he was right.
Yeah.
You know? And, I mean, unfortunately, I mean, the family is like, for the most part, the family seems to have moved to the U.S. and like, you know, gotten settled in and, you know, been productive citizens. And unfortunately, you get one guy who apparently becomes disaffected.
Although both the father and mother apparently went back to Russia.
Now, I know. I heard that they both... Well, he was having trouble finding a job. He couldn't speak much English. And apparently his mom, they were talking... But, you know, I've seen some stuff that she was also... Whatever. But apparently the rest of the family, you know, did not. I mean, they came and they settled in.
And they were being good, productive citizens and going about their business.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, the kid, the 19-year-old, was going to nursing school. I mean, it's a pretty damn good profession. There's a shortage of nurses.
Yeah, and you know, from all his friends, he was a stand-up guy. He would go to stuff.
He was hanging out, whatever. The guy who was, like, you know, fucking saying, life sucks was the older guy.
And apparently, he was partying at his college after the bombing, too.
Right.
You know?
But people did say he was going to class and everything. Yeah, but people did say that he was a little bit like twitchy.
Twitchy. Well, I wonder why.
Yeah. Maybe a couple of reasons.
Yeah. Okay. Anything else? Are there any other aspects about this? Here's one. And then I think we can move on to other things or call it a show. There's a fundamental question of, do you call these guys terrorists or not? Because we didn't call...
I haven't heard people using really the word terrorist against these guys.
I've heard it a lot.
Well, I don't think I've... Okay, I haven't heard it consistently being used to describe them. You know how certain things happen, for example, like, I don't know, the guy who burned his balls on the plane. You know the guy I'm talking about.
The underwear bomber.
The underwear bomber. Okay? Everybody called that guy a terrorist.
Yeah.
Okay? I haven't seen these guys consistently being called terrorists.
Yeah, you're watching different stuff than I have, because I have heard them consistently called terrorists. Not by everybody universally, but
that's what I'm saying. I haven't seen them consistently called terrorists.
It's been being called a terrorist act, and they've been being called terrorists. And, you know, the question to me is, like, the traditional definition has 100% to do with motive. Like,
Right.
You kill somebody because you don't like them, it's murder. You kill somebody because you're making an example out of them in hopes that a government changes its policy, that's terrorism. The difference is supposed to be the political motivation, that you're doing it because you're using it as a method to try to enact some sort of political change. And of course, you can argue whether or not it's effective methodology or not, but that's the traditional definition of what makes it terrorism versus just killing somebody. And in this case, I think the only real answer is we still don't really know exactly what the motivation was. There, you know, the older brother did have links to some terrorist stuff on his thing and that on YouTube, and he'd liked some YouTube videos that were, you know, sort of that kind of orientation. And there's some evidence that he was getting more radicalized and talking like that. He was actually thrown out of his mosque for causing a scene with that kind of stuff a couple months ago. So maybe, but I don't think we actually know for sure exactly what the motive was. I suspect, like I said, there is a component here. There is a component here.
It's
an excuse.
I'm going to say, how recently did he get separated from his wife?
I don't know off the top of my head.
I'm trying to look. I saw a picture. She looks hot.
Okay.
Well, I'm saying that this could be a compelling reason why even more he was depressed.
Okay.
I mean, I'm looking at it. The couple got married on June 21st, 2010. The couple had a daughter, Liva. So, you become a
It couldn't have been that long. In 2010.
Right. So, I don't know. I'm telling you.
Sucks.
Yeah.
So what you're saying is just there should be a universal program to find people who are feeling disaffected and get them laid. And that will avoid all this kind of stuff.
You know what? Now that you boil it down to that, I like it even better. Yes. I think it would do wonders.
I just got an email from Amy in the other room saying she knows the song. Yeah, the Aruba, Jamaica, blah, blah,
oh,
blah.
Oh, my God, so. She does? Well, okay, well, Jesus. Well, that actually, I don't feel that old then. Fuck, that movie was like, that movie is like freaking like, I don't know.
Come on, Pretty Mama.
Yeah. Jeez, the 80s? Yeah, I had 80s, right. Wasn't even 90. So. All right. Well, okay. Well, I guess we're done. We're out.
Yeah. I mean, the gun control thing failed this week too. I kind of got absorbed in all of this kind of stuff. Maybe there'll be something to talk about there. And there's all economic stuff as usual. And Yvonne wanted to mention some
something about tech stuff, earnings.
Something tech stuff. Earnings.
And the Kepler. You know, the planets, but oh well.
Yeah, who wants planets?
I don't know. I want to find a fucking planet. I mean, I they were talking about that these planets are looking the sweet spot where it could potentially have life. I was going to send you on a mission over there to go find out.
Yeah, I'll get right on that. You know, the thing is, the reason I wasn't so excited is I've been following this, and the rate at which they're finding planets is really high right now. They've got a couple satellites in place, they've got this and that, and they're working on the technology to find smaller and smaller planets. And it's exciting time. You know, it's only a matter of time. You know, I mean, and they got a couple good candidates now that might
all
have something.
All we gotta figure out is how to get there.
Well. You know, getting there is a whole other story, but at least like how to detect stuff, like, you know.
I mean, it would be kind of nice if we found these fucking things. And my God, we got to figure out some fucking way to be able to travel that fast. I don't know. This is bullshit. We got to be able to travel faster than this shit. I'm sorry. It's fucking garbage. Oh, yeah. There's all this stuff out there. Well, you're never going to be able to see it.
Actually, like if you study your relativity, here's the thing. You can actually go. Because there's both time compression and distance compression, you can actually make it to anywhere you can describe in your own lifetime, potentially, by going fast enough. The speed of light does not stop you there. Because the thing that's, you know, Alpha Centauri is like, what, 3 light years away, something
yes.
like that?
Yes.
But like, if you go fast enough, that distance actually compresses. So you can actually get there. The problem is, for the people you left behind, you can go fast enough so that you can be there, you know, in...
Yeah, but that's bullshit. In 20 of your years,
it'll just happen that 20 million years have passed back home.
No. So, I'm sorry. Somebody's got to figure out something else. I can't accept this as a fucking explanation. Well, I'm sorry. Well, you know what? Let me tell you something. We've been proven wrong many other times before and a whole bunch of shit that we thought that we knew for sure. So what the hell anyway? Maybe not in my lifetime, but hopefully in somebody else's they'll figure it out. So, all right. We're done. We're out.
Yeah, so...
Space travel, warp drives, can't figure it out. Fucking idiots, I swear to God. You fucking physicists can't figure shit out. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. Fucking. Yeah. Okay. So... We're out of here. We'll talk to you whenever.
Next week.
Oh yeah, next week. Is that when we'll do it? Okay.
Yes, it is.
Next week. Thanks everybody for listening. As usual, email me at abelsmay@abelsmay.com and tell us what you think about stuff. And in the meantime, have a good week. Goodbye. And hey, remember Aruba, Jamaica. Ooh, I want to take ya. Something like that.
God. That's
terrible. I could do a William Shatner version, you know?
No. Goodbye, everybody.
To Bermuda, Bahama. Come on, pretty mama. Key Largo, Montego. Baby, God. Why don't we go? Down to Kokomo. We'll get there fast, and then we'll take it slow.
Take it slow.
That's where we want to go.
Oh, God.
Way okay. down to Kokomo.
Right. This has got to be over. Goodbye, people. Bye.
Goodbye.
Bye. Bye.
Down in Kokomo.
Aruba, Jamaica. Ooh, I want to take it to Bermuda, Bahama. Come on, pretty mama. Key Largo, Montego Bay.